This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If you can defend the run and split safety, that's some high-powered stuff. You know, it's not easy to do. There's a lot of stress on the interior defense and on your edge with your edge mechanics. Guys have to play multiple gaps, so it's heavy lifting. So we're, you know, it's not easy. You got to know how, like, who you're using in run fits and when you can use them. If you can do it, it just gives you such an advantage. Now, there's times where you want to play single high, and you know, we kind of call it accordingly there. But love the question. You know, more football questions.
So that's Seattle coach Mike McDonald. Yesterday, Joe, I said to you, I mentioned this comment to you yesterday, that he talked about this, hey, two safety, split safety, and stop the run. That's high-level stuff. What I said to you at the time was, you know, I don't do all the football film stuff the way that a lot of people that are the best in the world at it do it. But, like, the Bills have been at the forefront of this. The Bills have been ahead of this curve and doing exactly that, right? Like, they generally stopped the run. They played split safeties for above average in the league for the last 5 years. And that clip from Mike McDonald, the head coach of the Seahawks, Dan Orlovsky tweeted that yesterday with the comment, welcome the Buffalo Bills. This whole thing that the defenses are doing, the Bills have been doing for quite some time. So, like, give Sean McDermott his flowers and Bobby Babich and Leslie Frazier, even though, you know, he left and people were mad he was not aggressive enough. Like, for multiple years, the Bills have been doing this. Betting on you not getting explosive plays will be a winning formula.
Is it any surprise to anybody that Lamar Jackson's career splits, his lowest yards per attempt against any opponent, is against the Buffalo Bills? 5.3 against the Bills in his performances. They limit his rushing generally pretty well also. Yep. I mean, that's probably a chunk of Baltimore's explosive plays, I'm sure, is him just taking off running and you're not ready for it, and he can beat cornerbacks to the second, third level.
I wonder how much of a real test this is, because Derrick Henry, you know, he's hit the Bills for a couple of big plays, right? That's
yes.
You remember those.
Yes.
He had a big long touchdown run in Tennessee. In the last couple seasons in Tennessee, he did not have a good offensive line. I look up the last time these two teams played, the Bills held Derrick Henry to 13 carries and 57 yards. Nothing.
Right.
Nothing. He was all they had. Now, you know, as you got to, I'm thinking back to the years past where the Bills are talking about maintaining eye discipline, right? You got to maintain your eye discipline for Lamar. And Lamar as the threat to run and Henry as the power guy, who also scores fast and does everything. It is a unique challenge. And I came into this year thinking that that would work really well for Baltimore. That, yes, I buy into that running back especially being one that he's in the heads, he's in the minds of defenders in ways that other running backs are not. Right? The same way that Josh Allen is in the head of a defender, the way that Aaron Rodgers might not be. Like, not to say Rodgers can't throw it, but, you know, if Rodgers takes off to run, it's not exactly the same as if Josh Allen takes off to run. And I think Derrick Henry does give that to the Ravens. You know, no Bernard, no Milano.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder about the linebackers in this game. How will they? And no Taron Johnson, who's important to stopping the run, right? So
that stat, though, that you had earlier about Henry leading the league in yards before contact.
No, not leading the league.
Sorry.
Just better. A lot better than it was. He might be leading the league. I don't know.
Okay.
A lot better than it was the last two seasons in Tennessee. So if you thought Henry was starting to age and wear down, he's been brought into an offense that gets him better opportunities.
Is that something, though, I should expect the Bills to be better at than especially what the Cowboys were? That's probably assumed. But even the previous two opponents that the Ravens would have seen, because their line looks awesome. There was a clip I saw yesterday that Derek Klassen that tweeted it out, where A.J. Epenesa on a run play to ETN up the middle. Dorian Williams, Baylen Specter don't even have to make the play because Epenesa has thrown their left tackle into Travis Etienne to make the tackle.
I saw that clip. It was impressive.
Like, they're probably going to do a lot of that to Baltimore, I think. So, one thing about Henry is he gets a lot of his big plays not from, hey, he made a guy miss at the line of scrimmage. The thing on him, maybe the best way to defend him in his career is just get him right away. Don't let him build up speed. He builds up speed. Now you're tackling a freight train versus it's a boulder after it's gotten going down the hill. You know what I mean? Like, once you push it down the hill, it's over. But if you can stop it right at the beginning, that's not as difficult. And the Bills' defensive line, I'm really wondering how big a strength it could be. It could really turn off those Derrick Henry plays, I think, in this game, especially if they've got an offensive line that's banged up a little bit. But, I mean, really, other than the big run, how do we feel like he's done against the Bills in the past, Derrick Henry?
I know the Titans, it's a little bit like the Jags, where they have stupid losses to Tennessee. There's a big turnover-based game, and then there's the one where they don't get the quarterback sneak. It just feels like they lost stupid games to Tennessee. But
yeah,
and I know that Derrick Henry threw Josh Norman to the sun, but I'm generally not worried about it. Maybe that's because it's always been Ryan Tannehill with Derrick Henry, and now it's Lamar, who I think is worth worrying about quite a bit more.
That's true.
And Zay Flowers is good, and Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely. Like, the Ravens have weapons, but so did Jacksonville. And Jacksonville came into that game number one in the league in explosive play rate, and the Bills locked them down. So,
right. All right. You ready for Henry's career games against the Bills? Starting in 2018, 11 carries for 56 yards. 20 carries for 78 yards against the Bills. 19 carries for 57 yards. That was the game they won 42-16, by the way.
Yeah, they shut them down.
They dominated that game, and Henry averaged 3 yards a carry. 20 for 143, half of which came on one run.
76-yard run.
Yeah. To be fair, he also had two other touchdowns. Okay. He had 3 touchdowns on the day in total. And then last year, or 2 years ago, 13 carries for 25 yards. So I've got one big game in there, and again, like, half of it came on one run.
Yep.
So it's not like he has, every time they've played him, destroyed the Bills. But the point about Jackson is fair. Like, they've got two guys that they've done a good job shutting down. Can you do as good a job on both of them when they're standing back there together?
803-0550. Thought on this game? Give it to us. The Bills have right now one of the best offenses in football. The Ravens, I mean, they give up a lot of big plays. And, of course, Derrick Henry added into the mix. Sunday Night Football, a Darkness Falls game. Matt in Grand Island. That's what the Ravens call it. They call it a Darkness Falls game. Matt in Grand Island, good morning.
Hey, guys. I went going right through the drive-thru. The thing I was saying, you were talking about Mahomes before, and I'll tell you, I would take 15 fantasy points from Josh every game in exchange for a Super Bowl. I don't really care about what they're saying. I mean, when you guys were kind of breaking down the, you know, what Mahomes hasn't been doing and how it's looked, I'll take an ugly-looking Super Bowl victory every day of the week. I mean, at this point, I just wonder, you know, they've been dominant. Mahomes has pulled so many rabbits out of the hat over the years. His level of confidence that he can do it is so great that maybe he just doesn't feel the pressure to be that guy every day.
Well, I mean, anytime you kind of say that, Matt, it's like you're choosing between touchdown passes and Super Bowl wins, which is not what you're doing. I mean, the point about Mahomes was he hasn't had 3 touchdowns in a game in nearly a year.
Yeah.
That's a statement about how that offense is playing. And, of course, points are important. So, I mean, it wasn't really a fantasy football point so much as it's Patrick Mahomes hasn't had 3 touchdowns in a game in almost a year.
Yeah.
Is there any spinning that as great just because they won those games?
guys, but I guess my point is that during that time, how many times has he scored a touchdown when they need to score a touchdown? It's almost like, I think there comes a point where he scores as many touchdowns as he needs to. I don't mean it's just like magic. It's just like he is more often than not, when they need to have the win, they need to get the touchdown.
I don't dispute that. They get the job done. But the point is, there, if you have a team, thanks, Matt. Like, careful about the clutch part. Careful about the one-score game part. I mean, I always push back on this because, I mean, Allen against Jacksonville, how many of those touchdowns did they need? Okay, you could make the case they didn't need five first-half touchdowns. But by getting five, there was no clutch time in the game. You can win a – you know, they say you can't win a golf tournament on Thursday. You can win a football game in the first half. You really – you can. You can kill a game. The Bills did it. The Bills have done it before. So, like, it's just a commentary on the Chiefs' offense has not been some world-beating, unstoppable force, which it was when he came in the league. He threw 50 touchdowns in his first full season.
All right.
And there was an expectation there'd be some regression. And here, like, I report from the headquarters of Chiefs Fear Bunker. I live in fear of them. Because of what you said, Matt, that they always find a stupid way to win. I went to bet against the Falcons because I thought, I'm just going to stay up and they're going to win because of a call, which they did. And they got a 4th-and-16 bailout against Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they won that game. You could say, like, does he get the touchdown when he needs it? What he gets sometimes is a 4th-and-16 pass interference.
Mm-hmm.
And then a Harrison Butker kick. So,
and I'd want to look up if it's actually true. How often is he getting the touchdown at the end? In the Super Bowl, which is going to make it feel like it happens all the time because that's the game that actually matters the most. But, like, he lost 5-1 score games at the end of last year. That was a good amount.
Yep.
And, you know, like, I want to leave some room for, if you play that way, you can't, it makes you less likely to win. You know, like, they did win. It was always possible, and they did. They had a great defensive run, and their offense, when there were a couple of moments where they needed to come through, in the Super Bowl, they did do that. They did not do it to the Baltimore Ravens, though, in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, they were there to be had, and
yes,
and the Ravens' offense couldn't get the job done.
That was a game where Mahomes went 9 drives, his last 9 drives in that football game. He scored 3 points. And there were drives at the end where he had a chance to put the Ravens away, and he didn't. But it was okay because their defense was so good that the defense never let the Ravens back in themselves. So you can win that way. It's just generally harder. It's generally harder to have a more, you know, game manager type reduced offense that's not blowing people out.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
And you've got to win one score games like that. The Chiefs do it well, but are they always going to win these one score games at the rate that they are? I think it's more random than that. Unless you do are someone that believes they are just going to get the call every time.
Yeah.
Then maybe it's not as random.
Thanks, Matt. I mean, again, like, no one's saying, what would you rather have, 3 touchdowns or a Super Bowl?
Right, rather the Super Bowl.
But if I offer you, hey, all right, the Bills are going to play the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. You're not picking between the stats and the win, but if you could pick, Josh Allen throws 4 touchdowns or 1, what would you prefer? And I'll take the points. Like, I think a better chance if my offense is humming.
That's the thing. It's just you haven't seen the Chiefs' offense humming.
It hasn't hummed like the Bills did on Monday in almost a year.
Right. In like a year. And I got respect for their defense, and I think that helps them a lot in these late game situations and keeping them in games when they're not really scoring a ton of points. But, man, I don't know. If the Bills' offense can look the way it did and that matchup comes up again, I'm going to believe they can finally win it.
803-0550. We got him in the drive-thru, too. Held it together. He held it together. Nice work. Ron and Alden. Hey, Ron.
Good morning, guys. Sorry about that. Question. So let's just say, for argument's sake, that Mahomes is still the best quarterback in football. In Buffalo, we believe Allen's the second, you know, better than Jackson. And in Baltimore, they believe Jackson's better than Ball. That's what we do. We're homers. How does the rest of the country really feel? Where does Allen fit? Is this game on Sunday night that type of game where it's, I don't want to say Peyton versus Brady because that was different, but, you know, where does this game sit like that? Like, if people want to say, hey, okay, this is the ultimate game. Let's see who's really the better quarterback. You know, I mean, I'm going to say it's Allen because obviously I'm a Bills fan, but where does the rest of the country put Allen and Jackson between 2 and 3? Or is there somebody else I'm thinking of they would put above that, and that would be silly? And I'll hang up and listen because that's the question I want to know is, what does the rest of the country think? Thanks.
Well, for what it's worth, I mean, the NFL players last year voted Lamar the second best player in football. He was ahead of Mahomes, who was fourth, and Allen was, what, 13th?
Yes.
That was last year. This year, Allen's about to get more credit. You know, as much as the irony of the everybody eats conversation is that the real person that eats the most is going to be Josh Allen. He's going to get more credit than anybody. And we could all say that nobody cares about the stats, but we're all going to care about the stats when the MVP vote comes in and Allen has the most passing touchdowns with rushing touchdowns and 4,800 yards. Like, the stats, we are going to care about the stats a lot. You know, if it's spread around all these receivers, it's probably going to help his case even more to be named as MVP, best player. I think you'll see more of it. Let's fast forward another 2 months, 1 month. Allen keeps playing the way he's playing, which is putting up bonkers numbers, not turning the ball over, and Mahomes goes, what, 4 or 5 more games without 3 touchdowns?
Mm-hmm.
And Mahomes has...
And continues to turn the ball over.
He has 4 picks to 5 touchdowns.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I don't know how soon it would be that he would be called the best player, but people are starting to say it. Aaron Rodgers said it.
Did you see...
And people, you know, without saying, like, he's the best player, like, he's playing the best football right now is not even controversial.
Right. And on Mahomes, like, did you see ESPN this morning had the whatever? Like, they're going to rush to these 10 times earlier than they probably should. But one of their headlines this morning that was on, like, the bar while people were talking was "Panic on Pat?" Question mark. Mm-hmm. Panic on Pat. I mean, I wouldn't be panicking on him. It's more, to me, an indictment on their offense. And some of that was Hollywood Brown was injured right away and Kelce being shot and Pacheco being hurt also, right? Because he's easily a workhorse running back for them, like the guy they trust the most. But the offense as a whole, it's just not the wagon that it was in the first 5 years of Mahomes. It doesn't look that way right now. And to me, that makes them look more vulnerable. They are a team that has won the Super Bowl. They're not going to win every Super Bowl. It's not going to happen. And they're not going to beat the Bills every single time they play them, although it might feel like that. So when you watch them, I'm trying to figure out, okay, how vulnerable are they? Because eventually it's going to happen. And every time I watch them, I feel like they look pretty vulnerable.
That was life watching the Patriots too, right?
Trying to figure out how vulnerable they were.
And thinking, they're right there. Just beat them.
Yeah.
Whether it's Russell Wilson throwing a pick in the end zone or...
They went 10 years without going to the Super Bowl,
that's
though.
That's right. Without going or without winning?
Winning. Okay. Yeah, they went 10 years without winning a Super Bowl. They went twice against the Giants and lost both.
All right. You have just Bill's stats and graphs and memes. Is this you?
I retweeted that. In response to, I went down the rabbit hole in the break. So, we pointed out, Mahomes has not thrown 3 touchdowns in a game since week 7 of last year, October 22nd.
Not even just thrown.
Last year.
You include rushing.
Right. I did not include rushing because I had a hard time finding that. So, there might be more names on this list, actually, that would even be impressive. This is just passes. Three touchdown passes in a game, more recently than Patrick Mahomes. Tommy DeVito, Easton Stick, Bailey Zappi, Jake Browning, Aiden O'Connell. Joe Flacco has done it three times. Sam Howell has done it twice. Andy Dalton, Sam Darnold, Will Levis, Russell Wilson, Derek Carr, and Baker Mayfield have done it four times each. And then there are 16 others, including, of course, Josh Allen, who's done it three times. And again, that does not include rushing. There would be more names on that list that include rushing. So just bracing for Chiefs Twitter to find this now and then yell at me for the rest of the week.
Listen, we're not declaring him dead. I mean,
No. I don't even think it's his fault. Right? Would you put it on Mahomes that he's not putting up the gaudy numbers that he once was? I would put it on their left tackle probably stinks. Their receiving core is not as good as it once was. And their tight end isn't as good as he once
was. Right. Last year, you started to see the Kelce dip. And I thought that might go up this year with a little more talent around him to insulate him with Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy. But Worthy's a specialist. We knew that. And Hollywood Brown's out for the year. So, interesting. 803-0550. I'm pulling up Daniel Jones to see if he's had three touchdowns in a game more recently. Which
he runs a little bit. He probably...
That's what I mean. Yeah.
What? Did he have one last week? Because he had two to neighbors.
He did not have one last week.
He didn't have a rushing touchdown last week?
No. All right. I might have a game against Arizona from last week, last year.
Tommy DeVito, I think, is the funniest one.
Tommy DeVito.
Him having three touchdowns in a game, happening at all, but let alone more recently than Mahomes.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Let's connect with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Western New York's Kia dealer, number one Kia dealer. Steven tweets in, to the point on scoring a lot of points can win you a game in the first half. That may well be the key to victory Sunday. If you get up big, it minimizes the importance of stopping Henry and Lamar in the run game. They'll have to throw more to make up the gap. That's something that Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast mentioned with us early, that maybe the best way to make Baltimore one-dimensional is to have Josh Allen and Joe Brady go to work. They give up explosive plays, eat up a bunch in the first half, kill the game.
Mm-hmm. And make them throw it the way they did in that AFC Championship game we were just talking about. And really... where's their passing offense right now? What's the reputation of their passing offense? They're kind of a one-man show, aren't they?
They had been Andrews for a long time. Now it's Flowers.
Andrews is just, he's not even involved. Four routes last week.
Yep.
He's got to be hurt. He had a shoulder surgery in the offseason and then got in a car accident in the preseason. So, man, would you even bother covering him? Like, he looks like Kelce, but he's 5 years younger. And likely had the big week one, but he hasn't really done anything in the last couple of weeks. Like, it is the Zay Flowers show. And I wonder if it'll look like that week one game against the Chiefs, where what happened in that game was the Ravens realized, holy cow, we can't block the Chiefs. So everything was to Zay Flowers at the line of scrimmage. It was either Lamar running, or it was, we are going to throw a screen pass to Zay Flowers. It was like their whole offense. And I wonder if the same thing could happen here, where you get ahead of them. They were playing from behind in that week one game. They're playing from behind. They can't protect their quarterback. And everything starts to become, all right, well, I guess we'll just do a screen here to Flowers. We'll do a reverse here to Flowers. It's kind of their whole show right now, I feel like, through the air.
The Giants tonight look for their first win on a Thursday since 2015.
Wait, one more time? First win on...
first Thursday win since 2015.
Wow.
The Giants haven't beaten Dak Prescott since 2016.
Really?
Yeah.
They play him twice a year.
Yeah.
8 years?
8 years they've not beaten Dak Prescott.
Is that when he's a rookie also?
It might be.
Because I don't think he's been around much longer than that.
I didn't realize he played in 2016.
That was his rookie year.
It's also, Adam Schefter tweeted, it is Al Michaels' 20th Giants-Cowboys game.
Of his career?
Yep. 20th Giants-Cowboys game. And on the list of the games he did is the one with the Beckham catch, like one of the most famous catches in football history.
Yeah.
That Beckham catch was on a Monday Night Football, right? Monday night. Yeah, because Al would have been on that game.
Sunday night, right? He did Sunday night.
He did both. He did, for a while, he did Monday night.
Okay, I think by then it would have been Sunday night, though. I don't remember him very well on Monday Night Football.
No. It was
because he's with on Monday Night Football with Madden, right?
He's
with John Madden.
Yes, there's also Michaels and, boy, is it Deerdorf and who? You're asking me,
I don't know.
You're asking me to remember things.
Was that the Tony Kornheiser Monday Night booth? That was probably somebody else.
I cannot remember.
Monday night, you're saying?
He did Monday Night Football. Okay, thank you. Sorry. Yes. He did Monday Night Football for 20 years.
Okay.
86 to 2006. And on 2006, he moved to Sunday. But it's Frank Gifford. That's the name I'm thinking of. It's Michaels, Deardorff, and Gifford for a long time. Those three.
Okay. Gotcha.
Everybody's got their Monday Night Football era, like when you first started watching it and the announcers you remember.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it's Michaels, Deardorff, and Gifford for me.
See, I don't really have a Monday night was always changing for me.
Yeah.
So I don't really have like a go-to booth that I think of. Gruden, I guess, would be the name.
803-0550. When we get back, Luke Jones on the Ravens. Where they are, 1-2, have they righted the ship, and what kind of challenge they present to the Bills. Stay tuned. That's coming up.